your blessed day this morning, Father, that he will, as we said in the prayer meeting, just speak your words, Lord, that he will hear from heaven this morning, Lord. And I just pray for all of us in the congregation, Father, you will, our spiritual ears, our spiritual eyes, and our spiritual minds will be open this morning to receive what you've got to say. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, good to see you all. Praise God. Jeremy referred to the word I had whilst we were in the prayer room at the end. And as he said, I saw somebody with a wheelbarrow coming along and what have you, and he got all these great big boulders in and tipping over the wheelbarrow. And I just felt the Lord saying that it's our time now to just get rid of the things, the boulders that's hindered us, and clear away the rubbish that's been holding us back, getting in the way of the flow of God. And the other word I had after that was that from Ezekiel 47, where it talks about the river of God, where it makes contact, just bringing life. And he wants that river, I believe, to flow through you and me. So if there's things that get in the way of that, the boulders, the things that so easily beset us, as the scripture talks about, it's time. It's our time to get rid of it. That the river will flow through you and me, and it'll bring life. It'll bring life to the body of Christ. It'll bring life to where it's needed. It'll bring life to the people outside this church as it flows through us. It's our time. It's our time. And the other word that I had before I came was, it's time, God says, to declare war on depression. Declare war on depression. If you turn with me to Isaiah 53 and verses 4 and 5. Now, you'll have to excuse me because of the fact that I'm getting used to a new Bible, and it's a version I'm not used to. And it was interesting because I planned my word, and fortunately I just thought, well, I better look at the New Bible or what have you. And I found that with this one, it ain't got the words in that I was going to refer to. And so hopefully we won't have many of those. But because, you know, you can have half a dozen versions that use one word, and then you can have, you know, another two or three versions that use a different word. So, but anyway, here we go. Verses 4 and 5. Let's just focus on verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Is there any possibility that we can have that scripture up on that? Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Okay, because I'm going to do something with it now. Apparently, the same word in the Hebrew, infirmities and griefs, it sometimes interchanges. So in some of his versions, it'll say, surely he took up our infirmities, and some of you will say griefs. And what I do at home is, I personalize this. Billy Graham's wife, she was asked when he went into the ministry, oh, you'll be able to get up there on the platform as well, and you'll be able to say a few, which you won't get me up there. And somebody advised her, they said, take the scriptures and start personalizing it. And before you know where you are, she developed boldness. And she could actually get up there before very long. And she could address the crowds. Fear had gone when she personalized it. And she started with this very scripture. Surely, he, Jesus, I put in my words at home, has borne Dave Parker's griefs. And he's borne Dave Parker, carried Dave Parker's sorrows. And you can personalize that this morning. So this is what I'm going to do. Let's just stand, shall we? Those that can stand, if you can't, that's absolutely fine. Okay. And we're going to read this, and we're going to put the name of Jesus in where it says he. And you're going to put your name in where it says our. Okay, you got it?
Yeah.
This is for those who want to be free. If you don't want to be free, you don't need to participate. But this is going to set the ball rolling for your freedom this morning. Amen?
Amen?
Does anybody else believe it besides me? Come on. So here we go. Surely Jesus has borne Dave Parker's griefs and carried Dave Parker's sorrows. Amen. Amen. Come on again. Surely Jesus has borne Dave Parker's griefs and carried Dave Parker's sorrows. Say, thank you, Lord, I receive it. It's mine. I now have it. The freedom from grief and sorrow and any depression. Because you've bought and paid for my freedom. Amen. Just give him a shout and a thank you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, what you can do is, you can actually carry that on. And you can dig out the scriptures like Billy Graham's wife did. And she got free by personalizing that word. And many others. Amen? When we think of the price he's paid for, that you and I could walk free of it, free of depression, free of that hope deferred, free of every hindrance that hinders us. It's time to shake those things off. Time to shake them. It's our time, folks. Yeah, come on. It is our time. It is your time. You can personalize it as it's your time. It's time for us to rise up and be all that God intended us to be. Is that right? Hallelujah. And you know what the result will be? That river of life will flow through us with a greater force and a greater power, touching lives and people around us, because you've got rid of a boulder and a restriction to that flow of the river of God. Amen? Is that right? Well, some believe it. Oh! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, as you know, this month, we are looking at the subject of holiness. And you know, if you look through some of the big names ministries, and you look for the subject of holiness, you don't find actually very many speaking about it. And But I believe that it's so important. I mean, we found out last week, and many of us know it anyway, that, you know, it's about being separated. It's about being different. It's about being, you know, not where we were before. Some of you have heard me speak about being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Do you remember when I did it? When we had one side here whereby it was the kingdom of darkness and over here was the kingdom of light. Well, it's the same thing with holiness. When God says, be ye holy as he is holy, he didn't ask us to do something that we couldn't do. That would be unjust, wouldn't it? He's asked us to be holy, separated unto himself, okay? That's what he's requested of us, to walk in that. A separated life. When in the early 1900s, was it 1908? Some of you folks in here probably know. When the outpouring came to Azusa Street. Pardon? You remember it? Who are you motioning in your head to? You know, they called them the holiness people. That's what they became known as, because they were different. And we are meant to look different. You know, because of what God, just the fact that I tend to think that because of the fact that he's come to live within us, we got to look different anyway. You know, the most loving person in this universe and the most powerful person in this universe comes to live within you, surely we're going to look different. Surely we're meant to look different wherever we go, whoever we come across, whoever we meet. We're going to look different, aren't we? How can you not? With him living in you. You carry him wherever you go. You go to the shop, you're taking God with you. You go to work, they might not like going to church, but you're taking church to them. Whether they like it or not, aren't you? Hey? Because of who is within you. And it's the same with being holy. The word talks about if you're after, you can use words. You know what I mean, don't you? When we look different of our mouth, what they see, they're looking for something. And does our words that come out of our mouth, that Jesus sets you free, Jesus can do this, Jesus can do that, Jesus changed my life. They're looking beyond the words. They're looking beyond that. They're looking to well, what's this person about? What's this woman about? What's this man about? They're looking for something that carries some weight of what we say. And this is what holiness is all about. It's about being that different. That we are, you can't be any other. Because the most powerful being in this universe has come to live within you anyway. Is that right? Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. One to eight. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk, and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. We make these decisions because we've decided that we want it to be holy as he's holy and to honor him in that. Is that right? The decisions that we make. You know, I've heard some statistics about how many people within the body of Christ look at things on the internet that we shouldn't. And doing those things like it says there is not going to actually see us in a good light. We might think that we can hide it, but eventually it's going to have an effect on our lives. We need to shake off at these times the sin that so easily besets us. One of the reasons why we're looking at this at this time is because we're expectant in this body for God to do something powerfully amongst us. We've had that many prophetic words, and Lord, send some more as regards what he's going to do in this body of people. But revival down through the centuries has lasted, and on an average, 3 to 6 months. Because of generally, in most cases, the hindrances in people such as me and you. We've become the stumbling block, human beings, to the sustaining of that move. Karen and I, over the last 2 or 3 years, we've brought in this ruling that, well, amongst ourselves, it's our own discipline, and we request that others follow us in this, that we try to avoid being alone with someone of the opposite sex. You know, I don't panic. I mean, if I get to somebody's house or what have you, and you find that the man's gone out or whatever, but we just try to avoid it if we can. Particularly in, you know, private. Because we put ourselves sometimes just through things like that in the way of temptation. And so these things that are likely to stop the flow of God, if you like, and stop him doing what he loves doing, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, opening the blind eyes, can we, in preparation for it, just like somebody preparing for the new baby coming, is there things that we can put in place? And that's one of them. That we can actually just make sure that we're not putting ourselves in those situations where something could go beyond, you know, what's good for the body here. Amen? Is that right? And many of you are following us in that. And the next thing is that often hinders the move of God and actually causes a stumbling block to people? I mean, is money. The love of money, it says, is the root of all evil. You know, revival costs money. It's just a fact of life. Hiring buildings, bringing people in to speak, hotel costs, it costs money. And there is a flow of money as the attendances grow and more money coming in, and who controls it, who makes the decisions. And quite often these moves of God, somebody within it wants to control it, wants to make the decisions. Upset when somebody else has made the decision that they don't like. What we've tried to do in this church over the years, and some of the newer people may not know this, you may know, but we've tried to build this church on an understanding of we've given up the right as a child of God to be offended. How many churches have been split on being offended? Be someone getting offended over, you know, well, I wanted blue paint on that wall. I wanted pink on that wall. And, you know, these are the things, I'm serious, these things have happened in churches. And, you know, all because of things like that, somebody has taken their bat and ball up and they ain't going to play anymore. And it hinders the flow of God. And all of a sudden, oh, I thought that church had revival. The next thing you know, somebody's offended and there's been a split. And there's been an hemorrhage in the people. And all of a sudden, there ain't as many getting healed. There ain't as many getting saved. There ain't as many getting delivered. Because it's grieved the heart of God. It goes right against God's heart of saying he wanted us to be one. And letting trivialities creep in. We're called to love one another. He didn't actually say to us, well, you know, if you feel like loving your brother and your sister and what have you, you know, that's okay. It's a command. In fact, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment of all? That you love God and you love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. You can't just love in thinking in your mind. As Heidi Baker says, love has got to look like something. What's it look like in my life? What's it look like in your life? Do people see of it? Do they see that love? And as I've said to many of you for a number of years now, if I might have been on this evangelism course, I might have been on this course and that course and what have you, I might have had the training in this, that and the other, I might have read my Bible from back to front, and if I ain't grown in love in the last year, I ain't grown at all. I ain't grown at all. You might as well have just ascended a social club instead of going to church. You might as well. An encounter with God is an encounter with love. He is love. And we're meant to grow in love. Now, how do I practice that? Well, it's a good place to start at home, isn't it? You practice at home. Am I easily offended? My dear wife, she's quicker than me often these days at forgiving. Quicker than me. Grace tends to flow a lot better through her than it does through me. You know, but that's the place in which you can practice it. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know, we're going to bed grumbling and moaning and what have you. You know, practice the love of God. And we've said many, many times in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, you can have the greatest ministry. You can prophesy, you can stand up here and what have you. But if you ain't got love, what does the scripture say? You're just a ding-dong. You're just a ding-dong. You're just a clattering noise. So you can bring your prophecies. You can bring your offerings. You can bring your money. But if you ain't done it in love, not how God wants it to be. He wants us to do everything in love. And you know something? If we practice these things, we will look different. Because the world's off in another direction. They'll love as long as they get something from you. If you know, I'll do my bit, you do your bit, and what have you. And you know, we'll have a good time together and there'll be some harmony between us, all right? We as human beings, we can actually love to a certain level. But we don't have to live on that certain level because of who's come to live within us. Isn't that right? Because of love himself has come to live within us. And so we should be able to live on that higher plane. We should be able to love on a higher level. And I tell you what, if we do, they'll see it. What is it that you've got, they'll say? What is it that's different? Even out in Bethel, you know, some of them people were going into restaurants and they were giving that big a tip to the waitress that some of the restaurant owners went down to the church to find out what was going on. Love were coming out of them just in the restaurant. Love has to give. The greatest giver of all gave to you that incredible gift of his son on the cross, so you're never going to outgive him. Are you? Love has to give. And that's what God did himself. Gave for such as you and me. Folks that didn't really deserve it. We got to look different. We got to look separated. We've got to look like we've come from a different place. And when we do, we will start to look like holiness people. Shaking off the sin that so easily besets us, giving up the right to be offended, and learning and practicing the art of love. Is that right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It says in 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, for I am holy. Is that right? And it's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. We're going to be anything, we're going to do anything for him. And if we're going to respond to this act of love on this cross, he wants us to become holy. He wants us to become a different people, a people that's separated unto himself, a people that's shaken off those things that easily beset us, shaken off those things and gotten rid of the boulders and tipped away that stuff that's holding us down and stopping us running. Giving up the rights that we've often thought we had and tried to hold on to. Look at Gideon's army. Gideon's army, God weren't bothered. It didn't matter how big that army was. It didn't matter at all how big the army was. it'll whittle it right down to just a small number. Don't bother about that. I'll choose a small number if need be. But I want the ones that are going to allow me to do what I want in their lives, that I can let myself shine through them, that people will want it when they see it. When Jesus was going to the cross, you've heard me say it before, many of you, that, you know, these are the last few minutes. He knows before very long he's going to be dead. He's going to die on that cross. These last few words are so important. And what does he do? He talks about five times that they may be one that the world will know. Repeats it five times. Talk about, you know, not wasting your words. It's so important that he says that they may be one, that the world may know. We've had all sorts of ideas of how to let the world know who he is. I tell you what, somebody else might dream up another idea next week of how, you know, of how we can display what Christ really is and what he's done and things like that. Manufacture another system of getting the message out or whatever. Have we tried that one yet? That we be one. That we stand together. We care for one another. We wash one another's feet if need be. We deny ourselves for the benefit of somebody else. I tell you what, the world will come running when they see that. Because they've got something in their heart that's built in, that's crying out for that. It's crying out for it because it was made to house that. They don't realize it's what they're looking for. They were made to be loved by God and to love God. Let's try this different way. Try this new way. We stand together as one. We do away with the backbiting. Was it somebody said the other day? It was my dear friend Ron there. Something like that. Was it the wings have fallen off? What was it you said to me? That backbiters have eaten the wings off. You know, we were meant to fly, weren't we? But if the backbiters have eaten the wings off, I mean, some of you have stopped flying. Some of you have stopped flying. Church has become, or, you know, laborious or whatever. Walking this walk has become laborious. You know, it's time to stop the backbiting. And the next thing I want to say that is different and was different about these people in the holiness, or the holiness people out there in Azusa Street, is different. If we are going to be holy as he is holy, we're going to have to talk different. We're going to have to speak different. You know, to start with, even love has a different way of speaking, isn't it? You know that. My father, well, first of all, I grew up in a family. Many of you, around my age and what have you, you didn't tell somebody you loved them. You didn't tell your brother you loved him. You didn't tell your dad you loved him. That was the culture in which we grew up in. It was all an assumption, or we're too fearful to say it. And then about 18 months before my dad died, just over a year, I'm in the house at home. Karen's taking the children out on a Saturday. And the Lord says to me, he says, and I heard him. He says, tell your dad that you love him. Well, he's 250 miles away and what have you. But so I got on the phone, had a long conversation, dragged it out. And then at the end of it, I says, I love you, Dad. Bang, and phone went down. And then next time, went round the houses again and what have you, a week or so later, you know. And then I was a little more bold because, you know, maybe there was another sentence before I said, I love you, Dad, and bang the phone down. But, you know, something started to break. So, you know, when we talk about love looks like something as well, love has to say something as well. Love has got a voice. You can't love somebody and not say something. You have to say something. Or the message of love is not going to get out. We're going to live in this place of assumption. Proverbs 18:21. The power of life and death is in your tongue. That thing there. But just think of it. It's not very big, is it? But there's the power of life and death in it. Andrew Womack says that, what was his words? Most people are talking themselves to death. They're talking themselves to death. And they are signing their own death warrant with their mouth. They're signing their own death warrant with their mouth. They're probably saying things like, this is the flu season. I'm bound to get it. Are you bound to get it? You're bound to get it. Life and death in the power of the tongue. What about if you turned around and said, it's flu season, I'm bound not to get it. Hey? Because of who lives in me. I'm bound not to get it. These shoes are killing me. Hey? Yeah, hey, I tell you what, you ought to give those words the boot. Kick them out. I'm dying for a sandwich. Hey? These are the things, you know, why not change it round sometimes? Why not try these words? I'm living for a sandwich. Hey? A sandwich brings me life. I'm serious. I mean, you know, Jesus talked about we're going to be accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth. Some people might say, well, bit of triviality here and what have you. No, I'm serious. I heard about a man who, he actually said, he grew up as a teenager and he said, I'll be dead before I'm 40. I'll be dead before I'm 40. He died just before his 40th birthday. Preacher went down there. It was a man that we were talking about the other day, Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin went to visit him because he'd heard about it. He went to the hospital. He got there and the man's in a coma and he slipped away. He said, if I'd have caught him before the coma, I'd have cut him off from those words. Because he'd said, he'd confessed it. The children of Israel said, we're going to die in the desert. 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 And finally, God says, you're going to die in the desert. It came out of their mouth first. And they got what they said. They got what they said. So the words that come out of our mouth are important. Are we speaking life to one another, or are we speaking death over one another? Amen? Whether or not we use our mouth to agree with God and aligning ourselves with what he says. That's basically the gist of it. You know, we can dedicate this mouth to him, to his service. You know that? You can make your mind up that today I'm going to use this tongue to bring life to somebody else today. Encourage somebody who needs some encouragement to start with. There's plenty in this room. You don't have to go very far to find them. You can find somebody within this room that needs some encouragement today. Somebody's spoken badly to them before they got to the meeting or whatever. They've been living in this disappointment. They've been living in hope deferred and what have you. So you ain't got very far to go to find somebody to speak a word of life and encouragement to. Speak that life over them. When they went to the gate beautiful, okay, and the paralytic got up there. What was it? Was it a bulldozer, a crane that come and lifted him up? No, it was the words that came out of his mouth. God gave him the words. He said to them, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have got, get up and walk." And I was telling somebody the other day as regards, when I was at a leaders meeting once, a number of years ago, at the end of the meeting, they broke us down into groups. And probably about six or eight in each group. And you were told you could go home afterwards. And I noticed that there were one group that weren't going home. And they're in this circle. And they're chatting away and what have you still. And I thought, why are they staying? Why are they still? And so being nosy Parker, I sidled over there like this, you know, listening, earwigging, trying to find out what they're talking about or what have you. And apparently this man, I think he was a pastor down at Dorchester somewhere, and he was in pain in his back. He got that much pain in his back. Oh. And they checked his legs, and one leg was longer than the other. And it twisted all the back, you see. So anyway, they're holding his legs and what have you. And these blokes are saying, "Oh, it's not moving. It's not moving. It's not moving." And what have you. So I got in the circle and I says, "It has to move. It has to move. It has to move." So I got hold of his legs. And you start to think, what have I said now? So I got hold of his legs and what have you. And I just told this leg to move and what have you. And all of a sudden, one of the blokes shouts, "It's moving!" And then the other one at the other side says, "It's moving!" And what have you. Then his leg starts to move, you see, and he jumps up. Oh, and all the pain's gone and he's thrilled to bits and what have you. What happened? I mean, there. Did somebody come in with some ointment? Did somebody come in with a syringe and actually give him an injection and he'd no more pain? No. It was words. It was words that took authority over the leg and commanded it to move. Because there's life. And even things like, "You are wonderful. You are a blessing," can bring life to somebody that doesn't feel like that. You can find somebody today. As I said, in this room, you could probably find somebody if you look. If you say to God, "Show me, tell me who to go to. I want to bless somebody today." Joyce Meyer says when she wakes up every morning, she says, "Lord, Show me who you want to bless today. And I tell you what, that's a great way to live, isn't it? I'm going to make this day count and I'm going to be a blessing to somebody. Somebody's going to get hit with a blessing today. It might be somebody that needs £5. It might be somebody that needs an encouraging word. It might be somebody that you need to pray for. But you can find a way of blessing somebody today. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. In Proverbs 10:19 it says, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. You know, on the other side of it, sometimes there's a time you might be getting some slander, you might be getting some what have you. You know, sometimes there's a time for, you know, I'm not going to give the same back. I'm not going to give the same out. Because usually, when you say something in that moment, chances are it's going to be something that's going to make the situation worse. Isn't that right? I've lived long enough to learn that. It's probably going to make it worse. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you that you are calling us to be different. You are calling us to be a people to not just enjoy revival, but sustain revival. Lord, we just thank you that to make that happen, you are calling us to dump our boulders. You are calling us to dump the things that so easily hinder us, that we may become those separated ones, those ones that do look different, those ones who are chastened, the ones who have said yes to you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We just thank you that love has to look like something. And love has to say something. If you feel you can, just say this right now to the Lord. In your own way, you can mumble it. You can just say it in your own words. Lord, I just dedicate my life afresh to you. I dedicate the whole of my body. I dedicate my eyes. Forgive me if I've used them wrongly. I dedicate my tongue. Forgive me if I've used it wrongly. And I dedicate my future to you, that I may serve you and I may bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Oh, well, 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 well. Well, have a great week in God. Have I missed anything, sweetheart? Ministry team, there may be some people from this. You may want more of a rededication of yourself, I mean, to serve God and walk with God. There's going to be a prayer team up here, and they'll make themselves available to bless you, pray for you, encourage you, and go upstairs and you can have coffee and tea. and bless somebody up there. Amen? Bless you all.